More lights are blinking back on in Baghdad, but many Iraqis fault the United States for the slow restoration of services and security to their city. Their concerns point to what may be widening dissatisfaction with U.S. presence in Iraq. Many in that country appear to want the Americans gone. This week, when more than 1 million Shiite Muslims went on pilgrimage to the city of Karbala, there were signs along the road saying no to Bush, no to Saddam, yes to Islam, and no to colonialism, no to occupation, yes to independence. The Bush administration admits to being taken aback by the surge of religious fervor and anti-American sentiment, but military historian Antony Beaver is not surprised. Mr. Beaver has written extensively about the aftermath of war. His latest book is The Fall of Berlin, 1945. Antony Beaver joins us from NPR's London Bureau. Thank you for being with us.
Great pleasure.
Liberators who free a people from the rule of a tyrant, I think, expect gratitude. But the feelings of the people who are liberated are usually much more complicated than that. Could you talk about why that is?
Well, one of the first aspects is the whole question of humiliation. For example, in 1944, when the French were liberated, the scenes of joy in Paris were extreme, were wonderful. But in a very, very short space of time, resentment started to build in, and this was partly the French were feeling very, very thin-skinned because of their humiliation, above all in 1940. The French had the largest army in Europe, even larger than the Germans, and yet had been wiped off the map by the Germans. So it was a huge humiliation for the French. And I think we're seeing a similar parallel pattern in Baghdad, where the resistance simply collapsed. There was no resistance. Now, however much they wanted to get rid of Saddam Hussein, in Arab terms, in Islamic terms as well, that was a tremendous humiliation.
Is it possible that somewhere down the road, when the sort of initial feelings are soothed somewhat, that people will look around and say, well, things are actually better now?
Well, for that, things have got to be better. And I think that the United States is going to have to invest a lot more than, for example, it invested in Afghanistan, because that actually is the only way to persuade the Iraqi people that they have benefited, they have truly benefited by this liberation. Unfortunately, people have a very, very short-term memory about the humiliation of dictatorial governments, as one found, for example, in the Soviet Union. People forgot the horrors of Stalinism pretty rapidly and only remembered the humiliation that they suffered after the collapse of the ruble.
There is no clear leader in Iraq now. In other wars, in other places, has that been helpful or not helpful?
It certainly has been helpful. I mean, if one takes the example of France, although neither Roosevelt nor Churchill were at all fond of de Gaulle, they did accept that he could actually bring under his umbrella everybody from the right through to the communists, largely through the myth, if you like, that France had somehow liberated herself, and he provided the right sort of mythical figurehead. That is certainly not on offer in Iraq. You know, the lack of a leader is a seriously worrying aspect. The problem is, how are you going to find some leader who can appeal both to Shia, Sunni, and to the Kurds, and to win their confidence?
Do you think occupation is different from liberation, different issues?
Well, very much so. And in fact, to be perfectly fair, you know, the poor United States can't get it right in a way, because they'll always be criticized either for staying too long or for not having stayed long enough to sort out the problems properly. So I'm afraid you're going to get criticized from whatever happens. But it's certainly true. I mean, when you look at, say, Germany or Japan or whatever, the occupation as such went on for many, many years. And I feel that if the United States is to make a proper job of it, they've got to be around for quite a long time. And also, they're going to be, I'm afraid, paying a lot of money for quite a long time. It's true that the oil can pay for a lot of the reconstruction of the country, because Iraq potentially is a very rich country. But then, how are you going to organize the oil and the revenue from it without it looking as if, oh, well, this is entirely being ripped off by American companies?
You're suggesting that the United States needs to behave in a very mature fashion, take a lot of hits, do things that people don't particularly appreciate having done for them, and just sort of grin and bear it for years and years. What do you think? You think that the United States, as it is presently governed, is likely to do that?
Well, it's taken on a huge responsibility. If one is going to go in for a policy of regime change, you've got to follow it through.
Anthony Beaver is a military historian. His most recent book is The Fall of Berlin, 1945. He spoke to us from our London bureau. Mr. Beaver, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.